Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to open them to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 9 is where we're going to be. Acts chapter 9. Last week, a few of Levi's teammates were in a pretty bad car accident coming back from a summer basketball shootout up by Moberly. And a lot of you have been praying for these boys, Caleb and Zach and Dalton. I want to thank you for that. A couple of them are out of the hospital. Dalton is still in the hospital. He especially has a long road ahead of him, so appreciate your continued prayers for them. But I was thinking about that this past week, and it brought me back to a friend's car accident back when I was in high school. I had a good friend of mine who was leaving from a school concert, and he was struck head-on by another teenager who had crossed over the center line and had hit him, and my friend's brother was sitting in the passenger seat, and his head went through the windshield. And he should have been dead. He should have died instantly, but he didn't. If you would have seen his face, his head, it would have looked like he'd be dead, but he was still alive. And the doctors couldn't explain how he had survived the crash. And I remember visiting him in the hospital. I got sick to my stomach and almost passed out. The blood and the swollen head in the warm room, I couldn't handle it. I just remember being like, all of a sudden the nurses had to come and help me. It was kind of like the birth of some of my children. Not all my children, just the ones that weren't adopted. But looking back at that time, I now know why that family had such incredible peace. I was amazed because, you see, they were a Christian family, but I was not a follower of Jesus at the time. I grew up, I was in church every Sunday, I was in church every Wednesday. I believed what I needed to believe, but I had not surrendered my life to Jesus. I did not have the peace that this family had in the midst of this difficulty and in this situation. And, you know, it turned out my friend ended up being fine. His brother, who should have died, ended up being fine. You know, if you saw him today, you would never guess that his head looked like it did when I visited him in that hospital room. But there was something different about my friend. There was something different about his family. They had faith that truly I didn't have that kind of faith, because my faith was ultimately in myself. It wasn't in my Savior. It wasn't in the one who died for me. It was in me. It was in my good works. And so there was something different about them, and I didn't understand it at the time. And looking back now, I get it. I finally get it. I get and I understand why they could have such peace. You see, their faith made them different. And that kind of faith has an impact. That's the kind of faith that you don't forget. A faith that has impact. So that's what we see here in Acts chapter 9. We're going to begin in verse 31, because nine chapters into this amazing book on church history, we're still reading and talking about the same thing. We're talking about the growth of the church as Jesus' followers carried out his great commission. We're seeing gospel family mission. And so let's read. We're going to read starting in verse 31. We're going to go through the end of the chapter here. So it says, and this is the third progress report in this book, Acts chapter 9, verse 31. So the church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace, being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, and it increased in numbers. As Peter was traveling from place to place, he also came down to the saints who lived in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your own bed. And immediately he got up. So all who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Which, by the way, that's the proper response to the gospel, right? To turn to the Lord. And so that's what's happening here. People are responding to who Jesus is and to what he's done and what he can do. And so they turn to the Lord. It says in verse 36, in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. Which, by the way, I don't meet too many Dorcases anymore. I don't know why. It's such a cool name. So, I don't know, like Ellis's, you're getting ready to have a beautiful baby girl. Name idea? Where are you there? I did one time, I knew one person. We lived in Turkey whose name was Dorcas. She was an American missionary in her 70s. And so, but anyway, just a name idea for you out there if you want a name idea, Dorcas. So she was always doing good works and acts of charity. In those days, she became sick and died. After washing her, they placed her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples heard that Peter was there and sent two men to him who begged him, "Don't delay in coming with us." So Peter got up and went with them. When he arrived, they led him into the room upstairs, and all the widows approached him, weeping and showing him the robes and the clothes that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Then Peter sent them all out of the room. He knelt down, prayed, and turning toward the body, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, saw Peter, and sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her stand up. Then he called the saints and the widows and presented her alive. Can you imagine? I mean, there's no explanation for this except for that God does mighty things. Just like with my friend, there was no explanation. The doctors couldn't say how he was still alive, but God does. We still serve the same God that raised Dorcas from the dead right here. Verse 42, this became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Again, that response to the gospel. They believed in the Lord. And Peter stayed on many days in Joppa with Simon, a leather tanner. Now, that might seem like some weird parenthetical note at the end of the chapter there, but that was big. That was huge. You see, this was really setting the stage for chapter 10 that we're going to get to in a couple weeks, when the miracles continue and God will teach Peter and all of us that the gospel is for all people, no matter your background, no matter your ethnicity, no matter your status, the gospel is for all who will turn to the Lord. You see, a leather tanner was considered dirty and unclean by the Jews because they would have to touch dead animals, obviously, to convert their skins into leather. And so this is not something a Jew would be satisfied to stay with, a leather tanner. But God was breaking down cultural and religious barriers in Peter's heart already as he gets ready for this incredible thing that we'll see next in chapter 10. So let's pray. Excuse me, let's pray before we dive into this together. Father, we do pray that you would help us to not have those cultural, religious, traditional barriers that would prevent us from following you according to your word. And Father, we pray today that we would have the kind of faith that we see in this chapter. We would have the kind of faith that has an impact. And so we pray for your help this morning. Help us to see the truth of your word. Help us to understand it. But Father, help us to see how it applies to our lives so that we might be faithful and have an impact on those around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the book of Acts points to our purpose. You'll have to go to the next thing there, Dennis. The book of Acts points to our purpose, that our passion is the gospel, our church is our family, and our world is our mission, right? And so we've been talking about this. As we go through this book together, we see this over and over again. I did this thing, and I encourage you to do it sometime. Just go in there. Anytime you see the word gospel, highlight it one color, or not just the word gospel, but anything that has to do with the gospel, responding to Jesus. Then highlight anywhere where you see anything about family, about church, about being together in partnership, and then highlight it a color. And then go through and highlight anything about missions, about going on and sharing the gospel and proclaiming Christ and advancing his message, and highlight that. And you'll see this smattering all throughout the book. And I love doing that because it helps us to see just how God puts this all together and helps us see what this book is all about. And then we can do that with all the books in the Bible with different themes. But today, as we talk about gospel, family, mission, I want to talk about the faith of our purpose. The gospel calls for faith, right? That's the response to, as we saw today, to turn to the Lord here or to believe in the Lord Jesus. That's the response. So the gospel calls us to faith. Being part of the family, being part of a church family, being part of the family of Christ, that requires faith. And to live out the mission that God has called us to, that's the proof of our faith. That's the proof that we've been changed, as Dennis talked about earlier in his testimony, that proof where God's word comes alive, right? And all of a sudden our lives are different. That's the proof of such faith. And so gospel, family, mission, it's all three of those or it's none of those. The faith of our purpose is faith in Jesus, and that kind of faith points to our passion being the gospel, our church being our family, our world being our mission. And so my purpose in the message today is that your faith will have a lasting impact on others, a gospel family mission impact. Christian faith is purposeful faith, and it impacts those around you. So what does that kind of faith look like? What's required for that kind of faith? What does it mean to have faith that impacts others, that's purposeful, God-centered, Christ-faithful faith? And so let's talk about that. I want, as we think about this short passage we read this morning, I want you to think about two requirements for your faith to have an impact. You see, real Christian faith does impact others. Faith is personal, yes. You know, you hear people say, "Oh, my faith is personal." Yeah, everybody's faith is personal, but it's not private. At least genuine Christian faith is never private. It can't be. right? Because when we follow Christ, others are going to see and hear that kind of faith. It's going to be obvious. It's going to be evident. It's contagious. And this is how followers of Jesus, be faithful wherever you are. In other words, don't concern yourself so much about where you are. I think so often we think about, oh, I've got to be here, or I've got to have this job, or I've got to be in this place, or I've got to be at this school, or I've got to be, you know, we're always thinking about where do you want me, God? Where is, no, we need to be concerned, more importantly, about who we are to be. Not where we are, but who you are. That's where it starts. That's how we know we're being faithful to God's word. No matter where you are, be faithful to God according to his word. Point people to him. You see how that's clearly happening here with Peter and the other Christ followers? Wherever God had them, they were walking with him. They were pointing others to him. And as is clear in these accounts, life has plenty of hardship, right? We see two examples here. Aeneas and Dorcas were both believers who appeared to be faithful, and yet one had been sick for years, and another one died. You talk about adversity. You talk about hardship. Here we have it. But their stories point to Jesus. That's the point of this. Their stories point to Jesus. Their stories show our need for him. Their stories show our need to be faithful no matter our circumstances. Kids, you remember the story of Daniel in the lion's den? What caused Daniel to get thrown into the lion's den? Why did Daniel get thrown into the lion's den, George? Yeah, because there was this new law. The people, remember Daniel's kind of his colleagues, if you will, they were jealous of him and they couldn't find anything wrong with Daniel. They wanted to trap him. They wanted him to get in trouble, but he did everything that he was supposed to do. And so they tricked the king into making a law, like George said. What was the law? What was the law that the king had made? Anybody remember? Well, it was to pray, but not to God. Who was the only person they were allowed to pray to? To the king, yeah, it was only to the king. And so Daniel, what did Daniel do? He didn't stop praying to God. You know, after Daniel knows this, he doesn't stop praying to God. He doesn't pray to the king. Why does he do that? Because he does the right thing. And so he continues to pray to God. He continues to seek God just as he was doing before that. He continues to be faithful despite his difficult circumstances. The king wasn't a god. The king couldn't answer his prayers. And so Daniel continued to be faithful. And then, of course, Daniel gets thrown into the lion's den, and he continues to show his faithfulness. He continues to trust in God. And God proved his power over all things by protecting Daniel. Now, we have to be careful when we think about that story. That doesn't mean that we'll never be harmed. It doesn't mean that we won't have hardship. There have been plenty of Christians in the first century who were thrown into lion's dens and were killed for their faith in Jesus. And so this isn't a blanket promise that everything's going to be okay physically, but we know that God is in control, and God proves his power over and over again. So what this does is we see in this story, we think about Daniel in the lion's den, or we think about what we have here with these two people, Aeneas and Tabitha, who were healed, right? We see that God is worth trusting, and that we're called to be faithful wherever we are. No matter our circumstances, we are called to be faithful. As Peter was traveling from place to place, he was being faithful, right? He was serving the Lord. He was pointing people to Jesus. Aeneas was counted among the saints in Lydda, it appears. Dorcas was a disciple who was always doing good works and acts of charity, it says. What situations and circumstances does God have you in right now? Are you being faithful to him according to his word, or are you making excuses as to why you can't be faithful? Well, I'll be faithful to God once this season of my life is over, or I'll be committed to the church once I'm not so busy, or I'll read my Bible more when I don't have to get up as early. And you see, we start to make excuses as if God says, you know what, you can pick and choose when to be faithful. You can pick and choose when to walk with me. No, that's not how it works. We make time for what's important. We always do. We make time for what we prioritize, for what's important. We prioritize what's important. And so what we see through these stories in the book of Acts is that we're to be faithful wherever we are, whatever season we're in. We're called to be faithful. To be a genuine follower of Jesus, be faithful wherever you are. The second thing I want you to notice then is to depend on the Lord. If you're not careful, you might read these stories and you think, wow, there's something special about that Peter, isn't there? But Peter was depending on the Lord. He was pointing people to the Lord. The Lord was healing and restoring people, and he hasn't changed. It was the Lord who was changing hearts and lives, and he hasn't stopped doing that. It was the Lord who is doing all these things. And so Peter was saying, look to Jesus. Jesus heals. Jesus restores. Look to Jesus. People were turning to and believing in the Lord, and they still are. Praise the Lord. That's why Peter said in verse 34, Jesus Christ heals you. It's very clear who he was pointing to. It was very clear what he knew. And then later when it says he knelt down and prayed. Why? Because he knew he needed the Lord. As the Bible says so clearly, as so clearly Jesus proved through his words and actions and through his life on this earth, and as today's key doctrine in the family group lesson from the Gospel Project so clearly explained, Jesus is God. He is fully God and he is fully man. Right? His deity is evident again and again, including here when Peter called on the name of Jesus to heal this man. Peter didn't call on anyone else because no other name can heal. He called on the name of Jesus because Jesus is Lord, and so we need to depend on the Lord. Jesus is the key. Psalm 62, verse 8, it says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is our refuge. He's our refuge. And so then Jesus said in John 15, verse 5, he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me, or apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, what matters the most about your faith is not the amount of your faith. We oftentimes think about, we gotta have more faith, and we almost act like it's about our faith. And don't get me wrong, we want to grow in our faith. We should be growing in our faith. Our faith should be increasing. There's no question about that. But that's not the thing that matters most. It's not the amount of your faith, but rather the object of your faith that matters. Right? It's not about how much faith you have, but it's about who you put your faith in. Because you can have all the faith in the world, but if it's in the wrong place, then it doesn't do you any good. So that's why it's said of Peter in verse 40 that he knelt down and prayed. Why? Because he had his faith in the right one. It wasn't in himself. What if Peter just had all this incredible faith and this confidence in himself? It would have been misguided. Peter doesn't save. Peter doesn't heal. Jesus does. And so he knelt down and prayed because he knew who he was depending on. You have to have your faith in Jesus. Jesus has to be the object of your faith, or your faith means nothing. Nothing. Right? Faith in anyone or anything else, no matter how strong, it will let you down. But Jesus never fails. And so after these miraculous healings, this miraculous healing of Aeneas, verse 35 says that all who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. And after the miraculous healing of Dorcas, verse 42 says, this became known throughout Joppa and many believed in the Lord. Depend on the Lord. This is the faith of our purpose. Being faithful wherever you are and depending on the Lord so that gospel family mission can be obvious. When you're faithful wherever God has you in life and when you depend on him, then your passion is the gospel. Your church is your family. The world is your mission. When you're living this way, people notice that, right? People notice when you're living this way. So that's why when I didn't understand it when I was in high school, and I had not many, but I had a few Christian friends, and I used to think they were weird. Because we are kind of weird, right? No, but in all seriousness, I thought they were weird because it was because of their priorities. They didn't prioritize the things that I prioritized. And so when they would leave on Saturday night from a team basketball camp so that they could go back on Sunday and be with their church, I thought, well, that's weird. We got basketball games on Sunday. What are you doing leaving for? Because they were committed. They had priorities that were much bigger and better and more important than basketball. And so they left, and I stayed and I played. And guess what it got me? Nothing more than it got them. I wasn't any better than they were. In fact, the two that come to my mind that did that, they ended up being better than I was. And that's just the reality, is they were different. That faith had an impact on me. And I didn't realize until later in life, until I also came to know Jesus, but I look back at it and I say, that's the kind of faith that I want to have. I want to have the kind of faith that impacts others for the good, that points people to Jesus, as Peter was pointing people to Jesus. Jesus Christ heals you. Turn to the Lord. Right? Or back in chapter 2 when Peter preached that incredible sermon, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. See, people are going to respond when our faith is purposeful, Christ-centered faith. That's going to have an impact. People are going to be affected for the good. Remember, I said my purpose is that your faith will have that lasting impact on others. If you're sincerely depending on the Lord Jesus, then you will be faithful no matter where you are, no matter your circumstances. Now, again, you know, we know how life is, right? We have a lot of this, ups and downs, because we're not always growing in faithfulness as we should, because we're still sinners. But you're going to have that kind of impact. You're going to be growing in your faith as you continue to walk with Jesus. And while the ups and downs are going to come, the ups are going to, you know, it's going to be more like this. It's not going to be like this, but it's going to be like this, because we're going to be growing and growing and growing, because that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He changes us. He makes us who he's called us to be. To be faithful, right? And such faithfulness is going to have that lasting impact. And this is God's desire for you. It's his will for your life. And so we know what Jesus said about praying for God's will to be done, that we knock and the door will be opened. We seek and we'll find. We ask and it will be given. In the context of God's will, if you seek for God to grow you in your faithfulness to his word, he's going to answer that prayer if you're sincere. Because remember, God's design in his plan and his purpose is the only one that's perfect. It just as his creation was at the beginning, but we know what happened. We sin. We all sin and fall short of God's perfect standard and his plan and his glory. And so sin introduces brokenness. Remember, sin is just disobedience to God's word. And we all sin. And that brings all this brokenness. And so we think about sin and brokenness are why we make excuses when we fail to obey God's word. Right? Sin and brokenness are why we fail to be faithful no matter what. When we have those struggles, that's because of our brokenness. Why do we fail to prioritize gospel family mission above temporary worldly pleasures? Because of brokenness. Why do we fail to depend on the Lord above all else? Because of brokenness. And so our sin causes a broken relationship with God, which means we all deserve to spend eternity in hell because our relationship with a perfect God is broken. He's holy, we're not. And yet there's one thing and only one thing that can fix our brokenness, and that's the gospel. The fact that Jesus died on the cross in our place for our sins. He died because of our brokenness. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. He won the victory over sin and death forever. And so now the good news of the gospel is that if you repent of your sins and you believe in Jesus alone for your forgiveness and your salvation, then he changes you. He heals you. He turns your life around. Turning from your sin and surrendering your life to Jesus is the only way to be saved from brokenness now and brokenness for eternity. Now remember, we're still broken people. We're not there yet. But we're being changed day by day. And then as Jesus changes your life, you begin to recover and to pursue that perfect plan and purpose that God has for your life. Not only do you have the promise of eternal life, you have God in your life now to change you and to grow you through the work of his Holy Spirit. And so you'll never be the same again. And all of a sudden, you can, no matter the difficulties, the hardships that you're going through, like we read about today, you can be faithful wherever God has you. And you can grow in your dependence on the Lord. And gospel, family, and mission will be your priority. You have a relationship with Christ. You'll prioritize following Jesus and helping others follow Jesus. And so I want to encourage you when we pray in just a moment, ask God for his help to be faithful wherever you are and to depend on him. To not say, you know what, I've resolved, I'm going to do it. No, that we can't resolve to be faithful. We need to ask for God's help to be faithful. We need to depend on him for the ability to be faithful, because we just can't do it on our own. And then we need to depend on one another, the accountability, the encouragement, the sharpening that we all need, and why we need church. Because only when we depend on Christ and when we grow in that faithfulness will we have that faith that has a lasting impact on those around us. And that's what God desires for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your provision. That you are a God who saves, you are a God who heals, you're a God who restores, you're a God who makes right. So, Father, we thank you because none of us is worthy to be in your presence, let alone to have eternal life, to be forgiven, to be made right with you. So we thank you, Father, that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, to rise again for our salvation, so that everyone who calls upon his name will be saved. So, Father, I pray that this morning for those who are here, whether watching online, whether in one of the overflow rooms or whether in this room, or, Father, whoever is burdened right now because of the conviction of sin and knowing that they need to give their lives to you, please give them the desire to do that. Please give them that longing to say, yes, I want to give my heart to Jesus. And Father, I pray that you would help all of us to grow in our faithfulness, that wherever you would have us to be, whatever job, whatever class we're in at school, whatever sport we're playing, whatever activity we're doing, whatever relationship we are fostering and having conversations with friends and family and neighbors and coworkers, Father, wherever you have us, help us to be faithful. And recognizing, Father, that means we'll prioritize the right things, that we'll put you first, that we'll turn from sin. And if we're in situations that are causing us to sin, Father, burden us right now to turn away from that and to be repentant in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives. And Father, help us to depend on you, because we can't do any of this on our own. None of us is capable of doing this in our own power. So we pray for your help today. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.